community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. The Blog Talk Radio Show is hosted by the Time to Leave Movement. We're your brothers and sisters. Along with you, we recognize that this is the time of separation, that we have to prepare ourselves, plan, and organize to actually move to a nation, a country, or not a country, but a territory of our own right here in this United States of America. Well, it would be more united if we come together, because we will at least be united, and that's what we're going to have to do to be enabled to organize ourselves and to form a community of our own. So in the Time to Leave Movement, just like everyone else in the nation, we recognize that separation is one of our tenets. However, we're trying to organize.
Blog Talk Radio.
Who are striving to be at the forefront, who recognize that we have permission from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to go ahead and start preparing and actually separating into our separate communities. Minister Farrakhan told us in 2017, that it's time for separation, or it's time to die, separation or death. So now is the time to start planning, organizing, getting together with like minds, and actually moving. If you read the final call from one cover to another, that's evidence enough that it's time for us to leave. We got all these brothers and sisters running for offices. We have our brothers and sisters getting shot down in the streets with no justice. So now is the time for us to leave. The question is, how do we organize? What do we do? Where do we go? So those are things that we talk about in the tool, people in the community, so they can become friends and become respected and admired by the community members, and more importantly, trusted. And so to get control of our communities, we have to be trusted. We have to be dependable. We have to be respected. So Brother Chimikas is actually doing that by providing goods and services to his community, the local organizing committee for the meeting. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum salam.
It's good to hear you.
Yes, and, you know, we are discussing last week, among other things, and one thing that I had to keep bringing up last week is Brother Tamika was talking about success that he was having in the community in terms of, like you said, getting people to trust them and work with them and depend on them. And at first, he was talking and saying that it was because of the proper utilization of the words of the minister and its proper terms. Well, I'm not going to argue with that, but the minister has just tweeted out that the time for talk is over, time to work. And what Brother Tamika and his other members of the coordinating committee, what they were doing was doing work. It was the work that changed the hearts of the people. Then they back, you know, words backed up by work, and then work backed up by words, explaining the work and directing the work leads towards action and not towards just staging, like you are going to act, but actually working on what you can work with. You know, Minister Farrakhan can talk to Satan. He can talk to the President of the United States. He can talk to Netanyahu. He can talk to the Ayatollah in Iran. That's not our territory. We're not on that level. However, there are problems right in your local community that you should address with whatever tools that you have to change those and to make them better. That's why we say either you control the community that you live in or you move to a community, then you got to figure out how to put it in control. You got to go to the meetings. You got to become a part of the community, the organizations. If they don't have an organization to deal with the problems that are there, then you got to set them up. It's not good enough now just to invite people to the mosque. The people can get the teachings outside the mosque now. And when they come to the mosque, a study group, they're looking for the minister. They're looking for Minister Farrakhan to see whether we are living up to him in terms of our behavior, our love towards each other and them, and our work ethic, not just our ability to preach like the minister, because no matter how hard you try, you will not be able to do that.
That's right.
So, Brother Tamika started breaking down some of the things that they were doing in the community. And for those of you all who didn't hear that last week, you need to go back and listen to it. Because those are some simple things that they were doing in the Phoenix community that you can do in your community. So if you're not going to move to a community that you can control, then you're going to have to get involved in the community where you are at and try to control it. I think it's kind of simple. But you can't do it pontificating, and you can't do it just from a roster. You're going to have to go out there and get involved in what's going on in your community. For instance, even though we here in Terrell County have been fighting the county commissioners over our roads for over 20 years, it wasn't until we brought the full power of social media to expose what they were doing, because they were basically just telling us, me and Sister Ann, that they didn't have the money to do this, they didn't have the money to do that. But then when we videotaped them and put them on social media, and they realized everybody was looking at them, all of a sudden they found the money. So this is, to me, what we're going to have to do across the country. If you want to control the community that you're in, you got to figure out how to do it. And if you don't have money and we don't use guns, then you better learn how to use these iPhones and confront these people and record the confrontations, spread that across the internet. Roaches don't like light. Okay? So when you put the light on these people, then they will respond. Not out of the goodness of their heart, but out of their own self-interest. People do things based on their own self-interest. They may tell you one thing, but they're going to do which they feel, what they feel is in their own self-interest. So if you want somebody to do what you want them to do, you got to figure out how to make what you want them to do in their own self-interest. Now, politicians, image is important for them, because that's how they get their power, through image and people voting for them to give them power. Once you destroy their image, you destroy their power. So you use that against them, still in a constant fight with them, but we got a little leverage. And we see a little squeaking. They're getting to move a little bit. But you got to keep the pressure on. So that's my opening comment. If there's anybody else on the line that wants to speak in terms of this idea of controlling your community and how to go about doing that, the mics are open. So, Brother Carlton, anybody else online?
Yeah, they're on here. But, brothers and sisters, go ahead and press that number one. Give a comment, ask a question for more details. This is your opportunity to ask Dr. Ridge a comment on what he's saying. And we have a caller. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 8804. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. I started not to call in. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Who's this?
This is Sister Andrea.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam. I definitely agree with what Dr. Richley is saying, and what I thought about, I thought back to, you know, what we're learning in our MGT class, and then there's a brother that I'm learning from in the business world. He always says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, which I feel that in the communities, many times, I mean, we have knowledge or learning knowledge. If we don't have it, we have all the units. We're learning how to cook and eat to live. We've learned canning. So maybe if that family member, that older family member that may live next door down the street, you know that they're ill or that they have needs, take some bean soup, take some Prima wheat bread, you know. Let people know how much you care on that level, because if we have the staple goods project, we have food that we can help not only ourselves stay well, but our people. So go in and let them know how much we care. Take something to them. We don't always have to sell something to our people. Show them that we care. Get to them with the physical food, and then we can work toward that spiritual food, work toward what we are being taught, teaching our people in our communities. And that's all I have to share. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Thank you for your comment.
Yes, sir.
And we have another caller that has a comment or question. Caller with the last four digits, 0539. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Was posted on March 1st, 2019, an SSA deposit in the amount of $533.
Okay, I'm going to hang you up because you probably don't want people to hear that information. Okay, so let me let that be a warning to you listeners. If you push that one by mistake and you're not ready to talk, make sure that you're not checking on your bank balance. Okay, so callers with the last four digits, 7359, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Okay, assalamu alaikum, this is Sister Niambe.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Just for, that was not me, so I don't know how that. Okay, yes, sir. Well, I just wanted to say in regards to what Dr. Ridgely was saying, what we are being shown is just if we put forth the effort along with our will and consistency, we will be successful. And one thing that's for certain is that those of us who are really serious about separation, you know, it's really not hard. It's nothing. It's not anything that's hard to do. When there's something that you are serious about, and it becomes enjoyable, if that makes sense. So I think that so many of us have not made any moves towards separation because, one, we haven't even taken the time to visualize what that would look like. And then on the other hand, we haven't even tried. You know, when I would call Terrell County and talk to Rhonda, you know, I could have been belligerent because she kept telling me the same lie every day. But every time I would call, I'd be nice, I'd be pleasant, even when she was out sick. I'd be, welcome back, Rhonda. You know, glad you're back. And that, you know, because as Dr. Ridgely has said in the past, you do get more of these with honey than you do get with vinegar. But we have to have determination towards separation. Now, when I say it's not hard work or that it can be enjoyable, that does not negate the fact that there will be difficulty involved. But we must keep pushing because, as it's been said before, no matter if we want to separate or not, God is going to force us. So we'd be better off getting adjusting our mind towards separation. But the main point that I wanted to make is that we must be consistent in our efforts. You know, we have to build our will, take this endeavor on, and we have to, and I'll give one last example. I used to work in retail, and I don't know anybody that likes to work in retail. But every day when I went to work, I had to change my perspective. You know, I had to have the right perspective. And when it comes to separation, we must have the right perspective. This separation from this enemy is the only heaven that we're getting, the only heaven that we're going to walk into. So as long as we are among them, there is no peace nor heaven for us. So we might as well just get ready for separation. And those of us that just refuse, unfortunately, will just suffer the consequences. That's all I wanted to offer today, Brother Quarles. Thank you.
That was plenty. That was plenty, sisters. Thank you very much. And we also have our sister Ann, her on the line. Sister Ann, I opened your mic. Did you want to make any comments?
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. Well, I would say, along with Sister Nyambe and Sister Andrea, that, you know, separation, you know, we are hearing so much today, and, you know, Dr. Ridley has said over and over again why the call started, is that he approached Minister Farrakhan after he made the announcement back in October that we were going to separate or die. And he asked if we could start talking about separation. And he was told that, yes, you can talk about it, but whether you do it or not, Allah is going to make us separate. So that was the impetus for him starting the conference call and seeing if there was really an interest among the people to separate. Now, since we have been doing this, we've had several people to come on board and join in the conversation, and we're finding out that there are a lot of people who are already making an interest or making some strides in separating, in trying to pull their community together, in trying to see that others want to truly separate from this unrighteous society, from this, it's just, you know, when you look at it and you see what's going on in the society, you have to ask yourself, how much more of this are we going to take? You know, how much more of this can we take? How much more of this will Allah allow us to take? And, you know, we have to come to a realization that we have to change. We have to change. We have to say that we've had enough. It's time for us to change. And, you know, enough is enough. So I'm concerned. I'm motivated by those that I see that are doing the task of trying to get their communities involved in the separation. But still, again, you know, I see that we are lacking in our efforts to come together as a people to try to separate in what I'm trying to say is separate into colonies or separate into areas. Now, we've had people to tell us that they've been doing certain things in their areas, and they feel that they are really successful in their areas. But have you thought about whether or not those are really going to be the areas in which we are, you know, are going to be? And we have to somehow just think. Now, Dr. Ridley has put forth an argument that, you know, it would be highly unlikely that Georgia would not be one of the places. It was the place where the messenger was born. It's the place where, you know, he bought farmland. Of course, he bought land in other areas. But Georgia is a place that, you know, we think would be among the first to be considered. And there are other places. So we have to begin to look at who's working in those areas and see whether or not if what we're doing in our area that we are in is going to get us farther into the area of separation. So that's basically all I have to say.
Yes, ma'am. Well, that's plenty. That's plenty. You know, it's. I noticed we generally have the same number of callers in, and that tells me that it's usually the same people, and that's a good thing. In that they, you know, want to hear, they want to be reminded about what we, the time we must, in terms of building our own community. Oops, somebody, can you put your phone on mute? Okay. So if anyone, please, just keep the ball rolling, brothers and sisters. If you have a comment or question, if you agree with Sister Ann or Sister Nyambi or what Dr. Richie said, press that 1 on your dial and leave a comment. If you have questions about that, questions or concerns, please press that 1 and share them with us and see if we can help you out. In whatever situation you're in, you are not the only one that's facing the same obstacles. You know, my wife is in, Sister Majita is in California right now. She's been there for a couple of weeks, and it's because she had a death in the family. And so if we were in California right now, living there with the rest of our family, it wouldn't be such a hardship. But she's there. She had to take her mother there, and it's a hardship for all of us. But you know, it was a hardship for those Caucasians back in the Western days when they got in their covered wagons and headed west. But you see what came out of it. You know, they stole land from the original owners and developed it and built the heaven for themselves and brought us here to work it. So it's time for us. We don't want to do what they did, but we have to have that same pioneering spirit. We have to have that same courage and to face risk and say, okay, I want to be one of the pioneers, you know, and as we said in our book, maybe if I do a good work, I might get a street named after me. So please, brothers and sisters. Walaikum Salaam, sir.
You know, we're trying to, you know, get into the psychology and the sociology of the inertia in terms of separation. Before integration and before they open certain jobs up in corporations and before they allow us to take out these 30-year mortgages on these nice homes, the call would have been simple, except for the confusing push and pulls. Here we had the Jewish people amongst us in the civil rights movement in the 60s pushing for integration. Yet the Jews are the most separatist, racist, egotistical, stand apartish, refuse to be a part of anybody in the world. But yet, they were amongst us in the 60s pushing that we integrate with Gentile white folks. But they weren't pushing that we integrate with the Jews. So, and now we hold the Jews up in terms of their unity. Look how united they are. But when we try to unite, we're called racist, even by Negroes. That's reverse racism. So, I put a post up on my Facebook page about if teaching separation is hate speech, a hate crime or hate speech, then the Bible, Old and New Testament, needs to be banned. Because from the very beginning, it was all about separation. Moses didn't come into Egypt and tell the Jews or the Hebrews, according to the Bible, and tell them to integrate. Now, Jesus even told his followers to separate themselves from the world. And then you go into Revelations, it says, come out of her, my people, so you will not suffer of her afflictions. So separating is an integral part of the Old and the New Testament. Yet when we say we should separate, they want to use God, saying that we're going against God. God says, love everybody, when love everybody ain't in the Bible. Not one time. So, in me studying my people and myself, I've come to the conclusion that the reason we are not all gung-ho about separation is that we don't believe that we can have a lifestyle comparable to the lifestyle that we're living amongst white people as. I've come to the conclusion we don't believe that we can live a better physical life than we do in white America. Even though white America is spiritually evil, but we like the air conditioning. We like the smooth running cars. We like the computers in our cars. We like to drive up to the drive-thru or call on the phone and have the food delivered. We love the amenities of the white man's world and don't believe that if we went off to ourselves, we can have it better. So we just stay there and slowly boil in their excrement, their stench, to where we begin to stink and stench and act just like them. And then look at each other and say, I don't want to live with them niggas. Look how they act. When you all know where we got it from. I got in an argument with a Negro last Friday. And he admitted that we were not as depraved sexually in the 50s, in the 60s, and the 70s, but it was because of mixing with white folks. But yet, he wants to say that we can't blame our loss of morality from being around white folks. And yet you admit that we lost our morality being around white folks. See, that's crazy as hell. But this is the confusion that we are forced to deal with when we deal with each other. So what we're trying to do down here in Terrell County is to find some people who want to try. Find some people who want to be pioneers, who want to try. And let's go ahead on and try. Because sure as hell, one damn day you go die. So why not try? So I'm going to stop preaching. Hopefully somebody else got some teaching or some questions.
Well, there you have it, brothers and sisters. Once again, you heard Dr. Richard. If you have a comment, you want to express something he said or something he didn't say, please press that 1 on your dial, and you will be first in the queue. So we all have an opportunity here. That's the way I see it, Dr. Ruiz. I see it as an opportunity to actually be at the ground level of building a community. It's a blessing when you realize you have an opportunity and a desire to do something. And I realize not everybody's in the position to be able to just pick up and move someplace else. But there's a lot of us that are in a position, but we just don't want to claim it. Because it is a risk. There is a risk involved. And so a lot of us, we make the excuses that we're not in the position. And that's not to put put down anybody or belittle anyone's commitments, but a lot of us can make it, but we're just waiting until someone else paves the way and makes it a little bit smoother for us. So, but some people like that challenge, and those are the ones we are appealing to. We're appealing to the ones that say, no, you know, I want to be one of the ones to pave the way. I want to be the ones to push myself, to test myself, to see what's my metal made out of, to see if I can do this. And then, you know, we're taught that when you go through struggle, it makes you stronger. But we're looking for those who want to get stronger in unity. So once again, go ahead. You have any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
So for the first time, Brother Carlson, that I found out that through reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, that the white man was the devil. That was it for me. I wanted to be away from him. And then Mr. Farrakhan just made it simple but clear to us this past Savior's Day. You know, some of us talk about what we have to separate first in the mind. You know, you got to separate in the mind. Well, he said, well, you wrote that letter asking for your name from your God. That should have been the serious process of separation in your mind. Why would you write a letter asking for a name and you want to say integrated with the enemy? So don't play yourself. Something has happened between the time you wrote that letter and now that got you confused as to why you wrote that letter. You know what you was writing when you wrote that letter. You was writing to separate. So the mental process had really already begun and ended when you wrote that letter. So what's your body, what part of your body has got you confused about what you need to do? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us in the 60s that the last trick of the white man was that he was going to take off the white woman's clothes and have her prance around in front of us. That's what he did. That's what she did. And we fell for the okey-doke. We fell for the bait. So now you got all types of mixed-colored people in the black community because mostly these brothers fell for the okey-doke. And now we're stuck with these different affiliations and feelings. We fail for the okey-doke. So what we're trying to do is just find the survivors. You know, those who survived the fall of the black world into the trick of integration. Those who have enough energy, enough know-it-all, to be able to break away and make a move. But many of us, we just got tied to the system either directly or through our kinfolk, through our friends, that we are stuck. We got a mortgage, we got a car payment, we got a note for college tuition. So we feel stuck. Well, you're stuck because you were supposed to be stuck. That's the purpose of them allowing you to have a few things was to get you stuck. So now you're stuck. You're in jail. You're not in a prison. You're in the house arrest. And you're afraid to go outside. If you're in the black community, you're afraid to go outside for getting mugged. If you're in the white community, you're afraid to go outside for getting shot with them thinking that you're going to mug them. So we're in a hell of a condition. Some of us will have the energy like Brother Carlton and Sister Majita, their family, the energy and the belief to break away, and the other of us won't. What we are just doing is saying, if you're ready to make a move, here's a place you can come. We can't make you move, but if you're ready to move, we'll help you. And here's a place where you can come, and we can make a go at it. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, sir. So there you have it, brothers and sisters. A lot to think about, a lot to share in your circle. You know, I'd like to hear if anybody who's having these conversations in their mosques or study groups, hit that one on your dial and share with me. If you go to the mosque, you go to your study group, do you ever talk about this? You ever talk about what Dr. Ridge is doing with the Time to Leave movement? You know, we like to hear what people are saying. Or if you're listening to this show, are you saying anything? Hit the one and share with us, you know, what kind of conversation you're having in the mosque and study group, because we like to get that feedback, you know, because we in the Time to Leave movement obviously have all bought into this. So we like to hear why, you know, what kind of conversations you're having with your peers and your brothers and sisters. Go ahead and press that one, and we like to hear from you, you know, what your plans are.
I'd like to say that I always like to hear Dr. Risley and what he has to say, because he keeps us up to date on where the minister is and what the minister is talked about. And it keeps...
We got somebody, we got a caller, Sister Ann. Do you mind if I bring him on?
No, I don't.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 3326, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Brother Lewis. Assalamu alaikum. I'm calling from Louisiana.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Lewis.
Yes, sir. And please, like to offer our condolences to Sister Majida and your family, Brother Carlton.
Thank you very much, Brother. Pass that on to us.
Yes, sir. I was listening to Dr. Ridgely and what he was saying, and I think it's very important to know the value of the Time to Leave movement, what Dr. Ava and Dr. Ridgely are doing with this show on Thursdays, and these town hall meetings on should black people consider separation, and the stuff that we've been doing with talking about what integration has done to the black family, the black community, and black economics. Now, we got to know when we're really gaining great momentum, and I think that I should highlight this point because it's very important. We have been trying to gain a conversation or some momentum in the reparations movement for years, and they were not mentioning reparations in the public domain. Now all of a sudden, and I'm just going to say it, there's a more virile form of integration that has hit the street, where these half-cooked activists are talking about going to get paid, and they're using some of the same tactics that they used, and Dr. Ridgely highlighted this years ago with that farm lawsuit, and maybe he can brief us on that. But what they're doing is, they're talking about reparations in order to seduce people around reparations without saying anything about separation. And so I'm saying that you cannot talk about reparations without talking about separation. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said we need eight states to begin our healing. And now if you notice, since we've been really pushing and talking about the sin of integration and the wages of sin being death, just common black people on the street, they may not know what to do, but they'll tell you integration is a failure. And the more we keep pushing it, the more black people are going to see it, because we're not gaining anything by integrating other than to become a filthy and indecent people. And so while we keep peppering them with raising the conscience, the culture, and the vibration of our people on separation, we have to be mindful not to allow our movement and our momentum to be hijacked. And it won't be, but we have to keep our eye on it. Anybody just talked about getting paid and getting some money, because if you recall, Dr. Ridgely, when Minister Farrakhan went around and had the Indabas and Baba Amari Opadeli and Chokwe Lumumba and Hannibal Africa, all of them were there. And the minister went around and he said, we're not going to allow some weak one to negotiate for us. And that's what I see. And so wherever I go now, I'm saying there can be no talk about reparations without talk about separation. So Dr. Ridgely knows all about what happened with the black farmers. And I just want to make that comment. Appreciate your show. Appreciate y'all pushing it. And I'll just listen.
Yeah, before you leave, Brother Lewis, Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam.
I think what you have brought forth, people need to really pay attention to what you just said.
Because
right now, you know, there's an argument. I haven't read it yet, but there's an article where Bernie Sanders says he's against reparations. And then there's people arguing about, you know, but I haven't read the article yet. So I don't know his position. But this is the game, like you're pointing out. They're talking cash reparations. Okay? And if you give Negroes cash reparations, if you give it to them on Friday noon, by Monday at 8 o'clock, Monday morning, all of them will be going back to the white community.
That's right.
Not only if would all of it have been going back, we would have took the money. Let's say you give everybody $50,000. Now, I'm telling you, the last thing that 99% of them go do, you know the last thing they would do? The last thing, Brother Lewis?
Yes, sir.
Was pay down their debt. They won't use that money to pay down their debt.
Man.
They'll take that money and put a down payment on a house, a down payment on a Lamborghini, a down payment on a trip to Africa, and then borrow the money using what they got in the bank as leverage to borrow some more.
That's right.
We'll wind up further in debt and less equity over the weekend.
That's right.
If they gave us $50,000 each. That's how stupid we are.
That's right.
So, yeah, the minister put a stop to that.
And we don't
back up. What they was trying to do with the black farmers' lawsuit was to push that idea of $50,000 per person. But what they was going to say, the same way they did the black farmers, you had to prove something.
That's right.
The black farmers had to prove, each one of them had to prove that they didn't get money that a white man got in that same year. But they couldn't get the white man's data because it was not discovery. So they couldn't go to the USDA and demand to see the white man's record to see if he got the money. You just had to guess. So what they were setting up is that Al Pyrie, the same one that tricked the black farmers, he was involved with that and them Ogletree and all of them up there with that dream team. What they was going to do is say that we'll give every descendant of a slave $50,000. Because, you know, we don't want to give $50,000 to people who came here from Africa or Somalia or Ethiopia. That wouldn't be
That's
fair.
Right. That's right.
But how do we prove that you are a descendant of a slave?
That's right.
Well, they got to take your DNA.
Nice.
And then once they take a sample of your DNA, then they got you in a test tube to be used at any scene of a crime they so desire.
Man.
So once they got every black person's DNA, because we wanted that $50,000, they then would have the ability to eliminate any black person they wanted to by putting his DNA at the scene of a crime.
Yeah.
And then taking you off the street because they got conclusive evidence that you was there.
Yeah.
My
so
God.
Mr. Farrakhan broke that up, and Mr. Farrakhan, he's breaking up all different type of schemes of the enemy, and most black folks don't even know that what the scheme was there. Therefore, they cannot appreciate what he just did to block the scheme.
That's right. That's so cool.
So now he's got Minister Ava going around the country doing these town hall meetings.
That's right.
Getting us ready to make a decision.
That's right.
A referendum.
Plebiscite.
So that we will be justified in taking that and saying we need a state to house these people.
That's right.
The Negroes who want to stay can stay. But we who have signed on the dotted line, we have a nation that needs to go free.
That's right. And so, see, Dr. Ridgely, I take this as very personal to my family because we got caught up in them co-opting a activism movement that we already had going in the South. We were already pushing for economic equality. And they sent these Jews down to Mississippi and Louisiana to co-opt all of the work that we were doing. We were already setting up freedom schools. But they co-opted our movement, and I see this element creeping right in the reparations movement, and ain't nobody called them out yet. But I'm going to do it. I have to do it because you cannot talk about reparations and ignore the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan. You can't talk about reparations without talking about separation.
Come on, that's right.
So, looking forward to seeing you. We're going to crank back up the town hall meetings, Doc. Dr. Ava's going to be in Milwaukee, but we want to come south and we want to come back to Georgia. We can do them even if we do them on our own. We have to keep the fire lit. As-salamu alaykum.
That's right. Got to keep the fire lit, brother. Alaykum salam.
Well, alaykum salam. Thank you, Brother Lewis. And we have another caller. Caller with the last four digits, 5498. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Ideal out of Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you?
Well, alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir, brother. I just wanted to make I actually have a question rather than a comment. I know my brother Louis Ali just got on, and Dr. Ridgely is on as well. Now, in Raleigh, I'm like central to about five or six different mosques around. And I wanted to see if it's a way that we can have a town hall meeting in this area. Because I have a lot of resources in this area. And I wanted to see if we could basically have that same town hall meeting here and set it up soon rather than later.
Okay, is Brother Lewis online? Is he still here?
I closed his mic. I can open back up and see if he's still on.
Okay.
Brother Lewis?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so look, Brother Lewis, you got a number for this brother to call or email or something, so you want to try to bring the town hall meeting in the North Carolina, in the Raleigh area.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay, I think I have brother's number, but I want to give him my number. If you call
Brother
me,
Lewis,
I believe I have your number. Okay, well, call me right after the show. Let's try to see if we can organize it.
Yes, sir, we'll do. That's
right,
what I'm talking about. Let's make it happen. Make it happen. That's what I'm talking about. Ain't no mystery,
yes,
dog.
Sir.
Make it happen. But you know, you're right. We gotta have them all over to give everybody a chance.
That's right. Am I still on?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I want to be able to bring the youth and get them involved in this. Because they need to really see this for what it is, and as we all know, you know, as we all know, it's better to show us rather than to talk. because we can talk all day, but until somebody actually put forth the effort and show people how this is done, it's never going to get done.
Well, you're so right. You're so right, brother. And I don't know how old you are. How old are you, brother?
Dr. Richard, this is Brother Ideal. This is Brother Akil's son.
I still don't know how old you are. How old are you?
Yeah. I'm 33.
Okay, you 33. What I'm trying to say
yes,
is
sir.
That me and brother Lewis and brother Carlton a little bit older than you, and I know brother Carlton, he was out there on the West Coast, and brother Lewis and I were down in the South in the day where we had business. Okay,
right.
And we had businesses, but we didn't know the trick, and
yes.
We didn't know that integration was going to destroy those businesses. Okay,
yes.
And so we thought that we could, you know, get along with white folks, but didn't realize they had a plan. And so now the young people today don't even think that black folks know how to do business.
That's right.
Hmm. We did know how to do business, and we did business, but integration took away our markets and our best people.
Yes, sir. That's why today I do heat and air conditioning as a trade, and today
right.
that's my biggest competition. It is because of integration. You know, in just North Carolina alone, we make up less than 5% of licensed contractors in this area, and that's big for us because. Ain't no brothers out here doing this. Not enough.
Well, let Brother Lewis, yeah. Brother Lewis, give us that little trick they pulled with those licensed contractors thing. See? Come on, Brother Lewis. Tell them the trick they pulled on us with that.
In 1954, after Brown versus the Board of Education, 1956, they set up the Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee Licensing Board. Where all of the black skilled tradesmen could no longer build houses, do plumbing, or do any of that tradesman-like work, except they had a license. So guess what they had to do? Go and work for white folks. Many of them didn't know how to read and write, but they were great tradesmen. They concocted
the test
in such a way that they couldn't pass the test at that time. So they ruined their business and made them work directly for them. Taught white boys the trade, got us out the trade. It's a trick. The whole thing of integration. They did the same thing with black women being midwives. Wrote a law, used the Jewish media to propagate, saying that they weren't delivering babies. Got all of the black women who were delivering black
Tennessee.
Women.
Yeah. Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed.
Uh-huh.
Down and losing ground.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, y'all. I wasn't supposed to do that. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you all for a wonderful show. And, please tune in next week. We'd like to hear from all of you and hear more of your comments. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.